And it's a blessing to be here this morning. Make sure I have my mic on. I do this time. It is a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be serving the Lord with my family. Nothing greater than that. You know, you get to wake up every day and look forward to serving the Lord. I mean, hey, couldn't be any better than that. And we're just thankful that we get to serve the Lord together in the ministry that God's called us to. We spent my wife grew up in our home church. I was a member there for several years, spent 8.5 years as the assistant pastor, and the Lord has called us out into evangelism, and we are just really excited about it. And we're just excited about the future and what God is doing, and we're excited about what God is going to do here in this week. If you have your Bible this morning, turn to the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 2, 2 Peter chapter number 2. This morning we're going to be looking at two Bible characters that lived in a time that God poured out his judgment upon this earth. Two different men, two totally different circumstances, but yet both of these men were able to escape the judgment that God poured out in their day. And the question this morning that I want to bring forth is, what was the reason that these men escaped judgment when so many others perished? And then finally, the question this morning is, how will you escape the judgment that is to come? How will you escape the judgment that is to come? Let's read 2 Peter chapter number 2, starting verse number 4 through verse number 9. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man, dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, again, I thank you for your word. Lord, in the clarity that you put forth in showing us how that we can escape the judgment that is to come. Lord, I would just ask this morning that you would accomplish through your word, Lord, what you set out to accomplish, Lord, as you've promised. Lord, would you speak to the heart this morning that may be here without Christ? Lord, that they can leave this place this morning knowing that they will escape the judgment. Christ's name we pray this morning. Amen. Two biblical characters, two narratives. You know, you kind of hate to call Bible characters characters, because that almost, you know, gives them a kind of a Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse is a character, you know. This is not a cartoon character. These people were real. These events were real. These things actually happened on this earth. And I think we need to understand that. And not see, especially the Old Testament stories, as fairy tales, because they're not. These are real men. And a real account of exactly what happened in their day. We start with Noah. We understand the sin of Noah's day. If you would like to turn back in your Bible to the book of Genesis in chapter number 6, the Bible describes the sin of Noah's day. Noah's day, the Bible uses words like wickedness and evil and corrupt and violence. Lots of different words to describe the sin of his day. In Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Down in verse number 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Sin was the problem in Noah's day. And as we look at our day, many of the words that God used to describe the day of Noah, we can definitely use to describe our earth today. The world in which we live is very similar to that of Noah. Wickedness is everywhere. It seems that evil is everywhere we look. There's corruption everywhere we look. There's violence everywhere we look. We are living in a day and age very much like Noah lived. Sin was the problem. Sin is always the problem. And as we look at Noah, and as we look at Lot, and we look at our day that we live, we see that sin is still the problem. It always has been the problem. It will be the problem until it's done away with for good. Sin is divisive. Sin is deadly. And as God's people, we should not be messing around with sin. But we see in Genesis chapter number 6, in verse number 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse number 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God promises to pour out judgment upon this earth. And can I tell you something this morning? When God promises that something is going to happen, you can count on it. It is as good as done. It is going to happen. And in Noah's day, God looked at the sin of the earth and he said, there's corruption, there's violence, this place needs to be destroyed, and I will destroy man from off the face of the earth. And it's no surprise to us this morning that we see in the following chapters that God does pour out his judgment upon mankind. The earth is destroyed. For the sake of time this morning, we're not going to look at all the verses. We know the story. The rains came down and the floods came up, as the kids sing, right? God destroyed mankind, and as we look at our world today, we see the very evidence of God's judgment just about everywhere we look. Science today looks at the erosion of the Grand Canyon, and it looks at different places, and it says that that stuff happened over a very long period of time with just a little bit of water. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that happened during the flood, where a lot of water hit really quickly and it created things like the Grand Canyon. All of the billions of dead animals that we find buried in different rock layers all over this earth, everywhere you go, they're there, is all evidence of the judgment of God. But yet people look at that evidence and they call it something else. Because to do anything else would make them accountable to a holy God that has already once judged this earth. God promised judgment of sin. And sin was carried out in the day, and judgment was carried out in the day of Noah. There's no doubt when God promises something that it happens. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us that God cannot lie. When God speaks, it is done. God promised judgment. It was carried out. God is holy. You can't condone sin. Sin must be judged. It is the problem. It has been the problem. It will be the problem. And it will be judged. We'll look at the second Bible character this morning who escaped the judgment of his day. And that's Lot. Lot and Noah were very different individuals. As we see their character, we see their lifestyle, we see the way that they live, very different lifestyles, very different people, but yet both of them escape the judgment of their day. In Genesis chapter number 18, if you turn there for just a moment, we see God promising judgment in the day of Lot. We know the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know the issues there, very well known to us in our day. We understand those issues. We understand those problems. God was going to judge that sin. In Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 20, if you look there with me for a moment, it says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. He says that their sin is grievous. Now, when God looks at sin, all sin to God is grievous, but he says that their sin was exceptionally grievous. It was something that he looked at with disdain. It was something that he looked at and knew that he had to judge. It was something that he could not allow to continue. You know, many times we look at sin and we look at the things going on around us and we wonder, why isn't God judging that sin right now? And you know, to be honest, it is all about God's grace. As we see the conversation that happens here with Abraham, how Abraham was begging God, if I can find this many, God would just spare the city. And God was willing to save those who were godly people there in the city. It's all about his mercy. Why does he allow us to continue as a nation? Because he's merciful this morning. Because he's a God that is full of mercy. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful that God is merciful in my own life. Where would I be today if it weren't for God's mercy? But today, sin is still the problem. It's the problem in my life. It's the problem in your life. It's the problem in the day of Lot. It's the problem in the day of Noah. And we understand that God must judge sin. So we see that their sin was very grievous. As we continue reading here in verse number 21, it says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. And we know that God goes on here and he promises that he is going to judge the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to destroy them. We understand that God now promises the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And again, when God promises that something is going to happen, it is as good as done. We find that judgment is carried out in Genesis chapter number 19, verse number 24 and verse number 25. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. But we see Lot. Lot escaped the judgment of his day. We see Noah. Noah escaped the judgment of his day. What was it about these two men that enabled them to escape the judgment of their day? There's got to be something about Noah. There's got to be something about Lot that enabled them to escape that judgment. So let's look at those two men for a moment. What does the Bible have to say about Noah? Well, we know that the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. It tells us there in 2 Peter chapter number 5, Noah was a good man. As we look at Noah, we would probably hold him up as a character that we would say, now kids, this is a man that you should strive to be like. You should follow him as he follows the Lord. He was a good man. He was a godly man. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 9 that Noah was a perfect man that walked with God. Noah was a good man. But was that enough? Was being a good man enough? Is that the reason that Noah escaped the judgment of his day? Let me look at Lot. Lot sat at the gate of the city, which I believe means that he was somewhat of a leader in the community, one of the most wicked cities ever on record. He was there. He was in the middle of all of it. You know, I have four little girls. I don't mean to be crude this morning, but when I look at Lot, he was a dirty scoundrel. He was an awful man. He's the kind of guy that if I were walking down the street and I saw Lot coming, I would probably take my girls by the hand and say, girls, we need to go to the other side because Lot's coming. He was not a good man. And I can tell you, with my little girls, if someone were trying to hurt my little girls, I may not be able to kill them. I may not be able to hurt them, but they're going to know they've been in a fight. You know? I'm not going to let you hurt my little girls. And we find here in the book of Genesis that Lot offers up his daughters. You know, I don't have strong enough words for the disdain that I have for Lot. I can't tell you how bad of a person I feel that Lot is. But Lot escaped the judgment of his day. Noah, the preacher of righteousness, the good man, escaped the judgment of his day. But then we have Lot who vexed his filthy soul. Vexed his righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Those two men who really have nothing in common. Those men who have nothing similar in their character and their makeup. Those men who are totally different in the way that they live their life, but yet both of them escape the judgment of their day. It really makes no sense, humanly speaking. If I were God, sure, Noah would be in heaven. But there's no way I would have let Lot into heaven. After he did that with his girls, I wouldn't have let him into heaven. But I'm not God. God's much more merciful than I don't understand the mind of God. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I can't understand the way that he thinks, but I sure am glad that he's merciful. Because I needed his mercy. So what was it about these men? Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 6 again. Very well-known portion of Scripture. I'm sure that probably many of you, if not most of you, could recite this verse from memory. It's one that you probably learned as a kid in Sunday school. It's one that you've heard preached before, but it's one that is very pertinent to the conversation today. In Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Do you know what it was that enabled Noah to escape the judgment of his day? What enabled Noah to escape the flood? It was the grace of God. It wasn't his preaching. It wasn't how good of a lifestyle he lived. It wasn't because he attended church. It wasn't because he sang in the choir. It wasn't because he tithed. It wasn't because he did anything like that. It was simply because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's astounding, humanly speaking, to think that this good man needed something more. Is it not enough just to be a good man? Apparently it's not, because Noah needed more. Noah needed God's grace in his life. It wasn't enough for him to escape the judgment of his day because he was good. Noah needed the grace of God. Now turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 19. Genesis chapter number 19, and we're going to look at Lot now. What was it that enabled Lot to escape the judgment of his day? Remember, we've been talking about Lot and said that I can't really see anything good about him, about what he did, about how he lived his life. But we do find here that as God is delivering Lot from judgment, that Lot takes a little bit of time to complain to God about how God is getting the job done. That tells you even more about Lot, and really, in my eyes, how undeserving of going to heaven this man would be. But I'm not God. Genesis chapter number 19 and verse number 18. "And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant has found grace in thy sight. And thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape into the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." So Lot said, "Listen, God, I really appreciate what you're doing for me and saving my life, but you don't know what you're doing, because if you send me up there, I'm going to get killed." That tells you what kind of guy Lot was. He wasn't a good man, but you know what? Lot understood that he had found grace in the sight of the Lord. What was it that enabled Lot to escape the judgment of his day? It certainly wasn't his moral upstanding character. It definitely wasn't because of his self-righteousness. It definitely wasn't because of the good life that he lived, or the good that he did for others, or the amount that he gave, or anything like that. It had nothing to do with those things. It had everything to do with the grace of God. So what about you this morning? As you would look at your life and you would compare yourself to one of these Bible characters, who would you be more like? We're in church on a Sunday morning. So probably most of us would say, "Oh, I'm a little more like Noah than I am Lot." But you know, whether you're a Lot or whether you're a Noah, you're in need of the grace of God in your life. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter if you've been a church member all of your life. It doesn't matter any of those things of how good you have been. Without the grace of God, you will die and you'll spend an eternity in hell. And that is not what God intended for you. You see, it has nothing to do with your own goodness. It has everything to do with the grace of God. So how is it that an individual attains the grace of God in their life? How can we find grace in the sight of the Lord? Well, the Bible is very clear about that in Ephesians chapter number 2. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We understand this verse. We've heard this verse preached But the reality of things is that you're not good enough to get yourself to heaven. And if you think that you are, the Bible is here to correct your thinking and tell you, no, in fact, you're not. You see, if salvation were by works, then Noah could stand and accuse Lot and say, God, I've done goodness in my life. Lord, I've preached for you, and I am in heaven, but this man, God, how could you allow this man? Because my works are so much better than his. But you see, salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Because we as Christians sometimes have the tendency to compare ourselves with ourselves and look and say, I may not be perfect, but I'm a lot better than so-and-so in my Christian life. I may not be doing the greatest that I can be, but at least I'm not like that guy. You know, we have the tendency to do that in our lives, to justify our own sinful behavior by just showing that, hey, we're a little better than someone else. But friend, you'll always be able to find somebody that you're a little better than. And that's not what it's about. It's about the grace of God. You know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You cannot receive the grace of God. You cannot attain unto the grace of God in your life by good works. There are many people out there who are trying to do that. All over the world, you find people who are literally carrying a physical wooden cross to try to somehow earn the grace of God in their life. They're doing all kinds of spiritual ritual trying to earn God's grace, and God's grace is something that cannot be earned. The Bible tells us plainly here that it is the gift of God. Anything that you work for is not a gift. God has promised judgment. It's very clear. The Bible tells us we've all sinned. There's none righteous, none one. It tells us that we're all born that way. Very clearly, we understand those truths. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, that there's judgment that is to come. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter number 20, we find prophetically the carrying out of the judgment that is to come. You see, God promised judgment in Noah's day, and judgment was carried out. God promised judgment in the day of Lot, and judgment was carried out. And in our day, the Bible tells us that we are sinners, and that the wages of our sin is death, and that's referring to judgment. Here the judgment is carried out. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 11 through verse number 15, and I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast. Friend, the simple question this morning is this: how will you escape the judgment that is to come? How will you escape this judgment? As you think about that this morning, I don't know how long you've been in church, and I don't want you to think about that. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter how good you are. I want you to think about this: how will I escape the judgment that is to come? And if in your mind your answer goes to your goodness or the things that you've done for the Lord, if in your mind your answer would go to because I'm faithful to give or because I've done all these things, friend, let me remind you that none of those things mean anything to God as far as your salvation goes. How will you escape the judgment that is to come? If it's not by the grace of God, then friend, the simple fact of the matter is that you will not escape the judgment. The earth is littered with the evidence of God's judgment. When he promises that he will judge, that judgment happens. Friend, has there been a day that you've seen who you are. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. Has there been a day that you've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from that sin? Have you received the grace of God in your life that will enable you to escape the judgment that is to come? Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. You know that. And you're blessed by hearing a gospel message. You're blessed by hearing those things. But can I remind you, if you're here this morning and you are a child of God, both Noah and Lot left a lot of people behind. And the way that they lived their life had an effect on the people that they loved. You think about Noah. Who was delivered from judgment with Noah? His family. Well, let me ask you, who was destroyed in the judgment of Lot's day? Not all of his family, but some. Some of Lot's family died in that judgment because of the way that he lived his life. How are you living your life today? What is your testimony like at work? How about this one? What is your testimony like to your wife? What is your testimony like to your children? What effect are you having on their future as far as their salvation goes? What about your brothers and sisters? What about your family? What about those people that you care about? Friend, are you living a Lot lifestyle? If you are, there's going to be a day that just as Lot did, you're going to see the people that you love experience the judgment of God, all the while knowing that the way that you lived your life was an influence on them being there for that judgment instead of being with you, watching from the outside in. The way that we live our life has an effect on the future of our families that we can't even begin to understand. See, that's what revival is all about. It's about those of us who are living a Lot lifestyle, seeing that before a holy God and being willing to confess that, get it right, and then being able to have an influence on our family that will lead them to escaping the judgment that is to come. Let's bow our heads this morning.